Things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people. HDC structure moving forward. How do we get stuff done? Think of the word committee. Over the past couple of years, we've focused almost entirely on stabilizing the organization financially. That work has been done through a real estate committee in concert with my fellow officers. And look what it accomplished. Three languishing assets turned into badly needed funds to work on our core mission. All primarily accomplished through an ad hoc real estate committee. Committees that come and go are called ad hoc, appointed to work on a specific task, and once accomplished, disbanded. Another example would be, for example, the committee to develop a fiscal sponsorship policy. Once we have that policy developed, we won't need to work on that committee any longer. Or another example would be the work that's been done by the bylaws committee. Others are standing committees, such as governance, finance, and nominating. All this is to say, in the last 3 months of my leadership of the organization, I'm going to work hard on formalizing committee structure that, like our finances, assures a stable and productive organization going forward. I have met with several of you in this regard and want to finalize that set of meetings in the coming weeks. Think of your role in the committee structure. Is there a role at all? Can you chair a committee? Where are your talents best utilized for our community and our organization? If you keep coming up with a blank, ask yourself, why are you here? We need hardworking committee members. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need to move on. There's not a role for my talents here. These are not easy questions to ask ourselves. I'll be wanting us to formalize an executive committee, a program committee, a broader finance committee, and I'd like to restructure how we deal with governance. Innovation and creativity comes from people meeting up on the street, seeing each other in a restaurant, or calling each other late at night with a new idea, or because they've just realized something that shoots a hole in how we've been thinking about a problem. Finally, deciding on what not to do will be as important on what to do. We cannot be afraid of making mistakes. Thank you. The first item on our agenda will be minutes of the October meeting. Our secretary, Paul.
Yeah, I make a motion to approve the minutes of the October 23rd meeting.
Second to that motion.
I make a motion to approve them.
Thank you, Nick.
Is there a discussion? All those who are in favor of approving the motion to approve the October minutes.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Old business, finance, Mr. Foreman and Ms. Nagels.
Thank you very much, Chairman. And I will kindly pass the baton to our executive director.
Thanks, Bill. I just shared my screen for the statement of activity for October. Just a reminder, because we look over the previous month's activity and specific for spending, nothing out of the ordinary. We got a little bit of extra income from the peripheral wine event for rental or lease of the space down by Kaz in the parking lot. Other than that, all things normal, your normal wages, etc. Of course, you guys got to see these when I sent them out on your email as well.
A question. On lease income, it's two parking leases. That's Talbot and Arning and the WIC, and space lease to Miss Kitty's for storing the disassembled building, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So just a reminder, when we close the transaction, those three items will then disappear. We'll no longer see that income. Those leases are set to transfer over to the new owner of the cash property. Is there a motion to approve the finance report?
I'll make that motion.
So second, please.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion, questions, observations?
Seth has raised his hand.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, I'm just curious. Did we get a deposit on the property that we may be selling, the former Kaz Warehouse property?
We did. We received both a good faith deposit and then the 10% deposit from the buyer that is being held in escrow with our attorney, with Crystal.
Right. And that's I see it's reflected here on page 2. Is that right?
It's not listed on here.
It's not listed on here.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, with the deposit, I believe that we had was the deposit that's listed in the finances that you're looking at is, was that for the CSX loan? We put down a down payment on the CSX loan, and currently we just pay the interest every month.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, the reason that the 10% is not held, it's held in escrow, is not listed here, among other things, is it reveals the price of the property. So we still can't do that.
Okay. Thank you.
And frankly, the funds won't be HDC's unless and until the transaction closes or the purchaser breaches the contract.
Thank you.
Crystal, if the purchaser fails now to perform, that 10% gets deposited in our account. That money is ours if they fail to perform. If we fail to perform, it goes refunded to them. Is that correct?
If we fail to perform, they can either seek specific performance from the courts or,
right.
or look to the down payment to be returned. And the only other clarification I would add, if they breached and disputed the release of the down payment, then it would be something that would be held in escrow until court proceedings were filed, in which point that down payment would be transferred to the county clerk to hold pending resolution of that dispute. But otherwise, yes, it would be released. But they do have an opportunity to dispute the release of that down payment should they wish.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or discussion here?
May I ask, were we in the interval where we're waiting for state approval? Is that happening now?
Yes.
Of the sale?
Yes.
And we're waiting for the court approval.
Court approval, yeah.
Yes, and that's on track?
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is it a clarification? Is that a county court that we're waiting on?
Correct. I'm sorry. I just had myself muted.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. further discussion. All right. Having no further discussion, old business A, strategic plan for future of the HDC. This is what I addressed broadly in my few moments of opening remarks We have functioned primarily in the last couple of years as a committee of the whole, which does involve most, not all, members on all issues. And it is not the best way for us to function. We can be way more streamlined and get a lot more done if, in fact, we formalize our committee structure. This means a job for everybody and everybody for a job. It will make the work of the board certainly more efficient. Everybody doesn't have to work on every issue. And a couple good examples of that certainly have been real estate. Unless we find some incredibly interesting use for underwater property, we've sold our real estate. And those folks should be pleased and proud of what they accomplished and can move on to other things. I believe two meetings ago when Seth suggested when we discussed the Arbor Day contributions, we should have a policy here. Well, everybody isn't working on that policy. It has become kind of a meeting of our attorneys, and that's how it should go forth. It's not a skill set or documents we're all familiar with and can work well on. The difficult things standing in front of us that we'll have to have hard fought from committee work is program and certainly in finance investment. I would emphasize that we are not required to have only board members on committees. So there certainly may be roles here that a member of the community may want to serve or be able to serve on a committee, but not have to participate or be a board member. In the coming weeks, between now and our next meeting, if I haven't met with you regarding this, and I've met with many of you, I will continue those meetings. To make this easy, most of those will be telephone and or Zoom meetings with you, and hope to come back with thoughts on, do we need change the bylaws? For example, they don't have an executive committee now. What are those changes? And start to consider who will be committee leadership. So that is going to start to form the plan for how we go forward. Not the nuts and bolts of what we do to go forward, but how we get there. How we get there is clear thinking people with good community skills. I'm going to stop at that point. Conversation, addition, your thoughts?
I had, just so everybody's aware, I've been thinking about our committees and how we're structured for the last couple of weeks and what we need to do moving forward. And of course, we're going to talk about this fiscal sponsorship policy in our next section, but this made it very clear to me that, you know, all of us have our individual skills, and I have my individual skills that I work with each member of our board, but there is a limitation. And again, there's benefits to limits, as I've said before, but when it came to fiscal sponsorship, I can look up for, you know, policies that exist for other agencies and see what's going on. But when it comes to our board and how we want our policies to be reflective of how we want HDC to operate, I do rely on each member of the board to help work with me to figure these things out. So think about the types of work that you do want HDC to do in the future. And we're, just like Bob said, you know, we need a robust, you know, thinking about our more specifically our financing and trying to come up with new revenue. We're going to need marketing. We're going to need, you know, to rehash our website because it's been neglected for, you know, a year and a half. Like, there's a lot of work that we need to do that maybe you haven't considered. So if you've got ideas, please come to me, send me an email. We can always set up a time and talk about what you have brewing for the next steps for HTC.
Thanks, Brenda. If there's not further discussion or observation here, let's move on to fiscal sponsorship policy. Seth's comments and questions set this in motion, I think, 2 months ago. I haven't worked much on this. Brenda has worked on it with Steve and then John. So I'm going to ask Brenda and Steve, if it were appropriate, to jump in here and tell us where you're at and what you're thinking.
Sure. So what the work that we've done thus far has been that I, you know, looked around for templates for agreements and putting together sort of the base for our policy. And then I shared it with Martha, Crystal, Steve Dunn, and John Friedman. And I did share the draft with the entire board, so you had a chance to look at it as well. And as we started diving into it deeper, both our legal counsel, Crystal, Steve, and John feel like there's a lot more work to do, because if we're going to come up with a policy and agreement that works as a template for various situations, we need to make sure that the language is tight and we're ready to go. So we will not be voting to approve the policy today, unfortunately. We're going to do more work and do more diligence on that. I forgot. I also met with our auditor at UHY, Matt Vanderbeck, and he had a chance to look at it and had some advice as well. So we're taking all these perspectives into consideration. And if anything, just like we're leading towards these other, you know, committees and other policies that we may need in the future, this is kind of our first run through of doing this. So we're going to learn and figure out how to streamline everything as we move forward. So.
Brenda?
Yep.
Just a quick thing, so we can suggest that this is one of our initial committees then.
It should definitely be so.
So we'll consider it as a committee that, All right, which can report back to the board. Terrific. Thank you.
Right. But there are, and maybe I'll let Steve take it from here. There are a lot of questions that he had that we were unsure of. So maybe Steve, if you want to address the board and talk about the things that we're considering, that way the board has some time to think about their options for this policy in particular.
Yeah, sure. I dived into the document ultimately, and I found it confusing with a lot of questions. And the way my mind works, when I try to organize material so it's clear and concise and unambiguous, it generates policy issues and questions. And almost invariably, you find things are more complicated than you thought. So the takeaway of this is, as I tried to categorize stuff and organize it in my mind, I had little baskets. I had the policy basket of when we'll act as the fiscal sponsor and under what circumstances. And then the contract basket, where you have a contract with the party that you're servicing. And in that regard, and then the application basket, that you have a template for an application that's intelligently prepared and arranged. And the major insight I had was there's two very different types of sponsorship. One is the applicant for a 501c3 status who doesn't have it. So you have an ongoing relationship with them for a period of time where they have certain duties to pursue their application and so forth. And you are taking contributions from a series of individuals under various circumstances. That's a relatively more complicated arrangement than the other arrangement, which is somebody who wants to make a contribution to the city for a specific purpose, and for some reason can't make it directly, either pursuant to their policies or pursuant to the city's policies. And so basically, for reasons that don't make a lot of sense, but apparently exist, but in speaking with Heather Campbell, she wasn't sure either why this was a problem. But there, basically all the HTC is doing is acting as a conduit. They get a check from Berkshire Taconics or somebody to help pay for body cameras or Hudson Police Department. And then we just in turn write a check to the city of Hudson specifying that purpose. And that's pretty simple, and it's on a one-time basis. So that's a very different kind of situation. It should be a much simpler kind of contract. So that's as far as I've gotten. I had written sort of a much shorter policy statement, and then was going to try to dive in, prepare the contracts, and probably have a lot more questions and maybe some policy decisions for the HTC to make. And I shared my ruminations with Mr. John Friedman, and then he jumped in and did a red line that was just this sanguinary bunch of red everywhere. So you know how lawyers are, they all want to leave their mark. So that's where we are. And I told Crystal, you know, I was kind of uncomfortable with the situation, and that I suggested that her just diving into it on Sunday and putting it into shape probably wasn't going to be realistic. So at least we were all communicating. And so far, it seems apparently productively. And Brand, of course, was very, very helpful. And as I deposed her, asking a bunch of questions to educate me on something I had absolutely no knowledge of or how it worked in any way, shape, or form. But I understand it a bit better now. That's helpful.
If I could jump in for just a second, Steve is absolutely right and did a good job in trying to bring some clarity to a document that was not so clear, and John too. But I think, you know, the board had determined some time ago that the entity looking for the sponsorship had to have at least some progress towards their 501c3. And I think that's where we really need to drill down. Is the certificate of incorporation for the not-for-profit corporation in New York State sufficient? The applicant would have 18 months from that filing to file either their full-blown 1023 application with the IRS for their 501c3 status or an EZ application. I'm not sure if the board wants to distinguish between the EZ applicants and the full-blown applicants. The IRS, at least before the pandemic, had been responding to those applications relatively quickly. The full-blown applications usually take about 6 or 8 months to get through, although that may be a little bit more streamlined now that the applications are fully online. So there are just some questions about where in the process you want to make sure these people are in order to consider them for fiscal sponsorship relationship. And once you have a committee, I'm happy to have any conversations that you want about not-for-profits. It is an area that I could spend some time with when I first started my practice, so I do have some familiarity with the same.
Cool.
Also, there are other sort of maybe more general things that the board may want to consider in the meantime as we're putting this together, is that our fiscal sponsorships for previous entities, whether it's, you know, City of Hudson Fire Department, Police Department, and most recently the CAC, we need to make sure that whatever project it is that we're fiscally sponsoring falls in line with our mission. And we need to be sure that it's not necessarily a general interpretation of our mission. Maybe we could consider, or the board could consider, tightening the parameters, because I don't want to fall into a situation where the bulk of our administrative work, even if we do take a fee for it, is doing a bunch of fiscal sponsorships, which is, you know, taking money in, writing thank you notes. I mean, as far as my end is sort of monitoring the work of another group. So it, we become essentially, on some levels, oversight for another group's project. And is that the kind of work that HDC should be doing? It's just something to think about. Maybe it's more specific types of projects that we are willing to fiscally sponsor instead of just a general for the community thing. So, Phil, you had a question.
I do, and I want to just second your thoughts in terms of intent. I don't think we want to be a fiscal sponsor service. I think that where we find applications that align with our mission in terms of job creation, economic development, et cetera, and they are Hudson-centric, that we should be straight up in having a very strong preference for maybe those are not the ultimate criteria, but those are the criteria I think of. The reason being not to be narrow-minded or not to acknowledge the all kinds of good folks and good causes, but my experience with fiscal sponsorships is that we're sharing our brand and our brand reputation with someone else. We may not think of it up front that way, but people who are writing checks to us under our stewardship are more likely than not to conflate HDC with whatever the intended recipient is. Whether they want to or not, that's how branding works by association. Therefore, I'm just echoing what Brenda says. I would like to see in our documents the notion that we're not going to decline necessarily on the face of it, but we do have a preference for alignment of mission, intent, accountability, and the earnestness, particularly in non-government cases, which may be a one-off. The earnestness of their pursuit of their own 501c3. That's my thought.
Thank you, Phil.
Steve had something else too.
Yeah, a couple of comments. One, for the 501c3 application entities, that's a temporary role the HDC plays until such time as the status is secured, at which time the HDC gets out of the loop. But having said that, during that period of time, 6 months, 8 months, and the contract would have a time limit set in it, pursuant to whatever legal mechanics are most appropriate. And this is where Crystal could be helpful. I would think the HDC, and it's in its agreement with the applicant for 501c3 status, would want that organization to operate and demonstrate it's operating in a way a charity should operate from a fiduciary standpoint and a reporting standpoint and a handling of funds standpoint. So basically what we're doing is reassuring donors they'll get a tax deduction in the event the 501c3 status doesn't mature or whatever, and reassure them. But I think as acting as a bridge for that period of time, we would want to be associated with organizations that are handling their charitable function in a proper and legal and ethical way. Thank you.
Yeah, well stated, Steve. What it comes around to, we just don't need to be a paper mill for somebody seeking a way to get a tax deduction. That's not our role. Any further discussion on fiscal sponsorship?
And if anybody does have any questions, please send them my way and I'll share with the group.
Just a point of information, is it something we want to do at all? Is being a fiscal sponsor so critical to our mission? We want to keep it up. Mind you, I liked being able to help the CAC, but perhaps we're not the only avenue. So I'm trying to get, as a new board member, I'm reading up with what fiscal sponsorship is. I have to say it sounds like a very powerful position in a community, but a very responsible one that would take a lot of focus if you were in fact to become effectively the nonprofit back office for all of these other projects.
Right.
So then I can see where all the language that Seth and other were looking at makes sense. But perhaps the first question is, how much do we want to get into that, or do we need to at all? Is that a critical piece of the toolkit that the board needs to fulfill our mission? So I just asked that question for thought, but it's a new concept to me, that role and why you'd have it and what good it could provide in a community. So thank you.
It's a good question. The basis of the question is always check the premise. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Anything else? Under old business, we have compensation committee. Compensation of staff is the second reason that a board can get into an executive session, the first being a real estate transaction. To make this meeting move a bit more smoothly, I suggest that we move this to the very last item on the agenda before adjournment. That way, when we go into an executive session, there'll be nothing left to discuss after we come back in the meeting that would require us to be open for public discussion. So having said that, I would ask you to bear with us as we move that item to later in the agenda. Do we have the mayor in the meeting?
No, sir.
No? Then under new business, we'll move to the last item B. I've had requests from several of you not request specifically, but are we having a meeting in December? Currently, that would be the 28th of December. Brandon and I discussed what would be on that agenda or availability of people. There'll be several people not available. I'm certainly willing to go with what tradition is, and that's to not hold that meeting in December. Thoughts on that would move us into January for the next meeting.
Just as a caveat, we could plan to cancel the meeting, but if something does come up in regards to any board activity or business and we need to have it, as you know, at least a week before the meeting, I can let you know, but traditionally we don't have a December meeting.
But I think it lies in the event that something were to come up, however unlikely, that we keep it penciled there in the event that it's necessary. Well, that's all.
Okay.
Will there be enough people around for a quorum?
It'll be a Zoom meeting, so it's. Yeah, no, I'm on the West Coast, but I'm just sitting in front of my computer, so it's fine for me.
Well, why don't we do this prior to the next meeting in December on the, was it the 21st? I will reach out and let anybody know if something is going on that we need to meet. Otherwise, we'll keep it penciled in with the anticipation of potentially canceling it.
Okay.
So, but that meeting would have been the 21st or the 28th? 28th. And then if we don't have a meeting, then the January meeting would be when? The 18th or the 25th?
I believe it's the 25th. Let me look. Yeah, the 25th.
Okay.
You know, certainly in the interim, go back to my opening remarks, I'm going to be spending time with each of you regarding committee structure, committee work, and assignments. So there will be things to do in progress done during that time. All right. It's penciled in for that date to be reconfirmed when we get closer.
Okay.
I'm going to move to item six, public comment, before we go into an executive session regarding compensation committee report. Members of the public in the room, first of all, thank you for attending. Comments, observations?
Don't see any.
Well, thanks for being here. We're only as good as you view us and you comment. So I'm going to accept no comments today as no objections or criticisms. I'd like a motion to go to the Compensation Committee report, and that motion to consider that report would be to go into the executive session. Before that motion, explain to me how we're taking, how you will be out of the room for this. Brenda, are you switching management of the meeting over to Phil?
I am going through and making sure that members of the public are no longer with us. I will put you in the waiting room if you want to join back after the compensation, but there's nothing else for the public to chime in on, so it's up to you.
Okay. And Brenda? Brenda,
yes.
I'm really not given an opportunity to move you. It says mute, stop, chat, pin video, or spotlight. I don't see where I can move you into a...
Hold on.
Okay.
Also, I can just leave the meeting and then let you guys continue, so... One second.
Okay.
I'm just double checking. Okay. All right. I've just made you the host, Paul.
Okay.
So.
There's still a member of the public.
Oh, there it is.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. Okay, Brenda, now I see I can put you in a waiting room.
Yeah. And also, will you hit the record button and turn it off? It's at the bottom of the screen.
There it is.
I'm sorry, where is it?
You need to turn off the... Well, hold on a second. Can you make me the host again and I'll turn off the recording?
I see it on the upper left.
Yeah, it's still recording, but I need to turn it off for executive session.
Go ahead.
The recording has stopped.